Well, for many, I don't know if you know that my dad was a landscaper when he was working, and there are so many parks all around Sydney that as we drive around as a family, I say, oh, yeah, Dad built that park. Oh, yeah, Dad built that park. Oh, Dad did that one. Some of you may have someone in your family like that, but, you know, when I go past Field of Mars, yep, my dad. Garden Island, if you've ever been to Garden Island, anyone been? Yep, my dad. Jubilee Park at Glebe, that's a big one. It's right on the water, lovely park. Port Botany, not your everyday park, really. It's really just the foreshore, all the trees along there. That was my dad. And then the best one of all, the herb garden at the Royal Botanical Gardens, if you've ever been there. Yep, my dad. He did that with my brother, actually. Now, as the son of a landscaper, there's an expectation that I would know something about landscaping. Russell reminds me of this all the time. He's been very critical of my plant knowledge. Now, I have no idea what different plants are in a garden. It's not something that's interested me, and for some reason, I still find it hard to remember the name of plants, although I do remember what an azalea is. There's one thing I do know, and maybe... Oh, there's one thing that I do know, and I'm sure that if you like plants as much as me, you'll know this amazing fact as well. When you cut a branch off a tree or a vine, the branch always dies. Now, to demonstrate this, I've brought in some examples. A couple of weeks back, I looked at the azalea out the front and I thought, oh, that's a good one. I'll cut a piece off that one.
Shame.
Some people love azaleas. But here's one I cut off 2 weeks ago. It's not looking very good, is it? And then here's another one. This is the hedge that goes around the car park. Again, it's not doing so well, is it? No, they're both sort of dying. Now, a few weeks on, well, they're all dead, aren't they? Now, I've also got some pieces that I cut off this morning. Sorry, I didn't realise I was going to do that. So I've got some pieces I cut off. Here's the old one. Here's the one I cut off about half an hour ago. I don't know if you can actually tell the difference, but this one's actually a little bit greener. It is, Russell, it is. I was wondering if you'd actually be able to notice the difference, but you can tell that that's more alive. The other one is the hedge, and you can see that, you know, that's quite, you know, a week and a half on, it's looking grim, isn't it? Now, as the son of a landscaper, I know that if you cut off a branch from a tree and leave it alone on the ground or on top of your cupboard somewhere, it will die. It will look like those, won't it? Now, as we continue our journey through John's Gospel, we come to the final I am statement. And here Jesus says that he is the true vine. I am the true vine, he says. Remain in me. Now, we're going to see a few things that tell us about Jesus being the vine. First, we're going to see that to remain in Jesus, we need to remain in Jesus to bear fruit, and you can see this in your outline. And then second, we'll see that bearing fruit is how we remain in Jesus. Sound very similar, so I'd advise you to have a look at those, the outline, to make sure you get the difference between them. Remain in Jesus so that you bear fruit, and then bear fruit in order to remain in Jesus. And our first point is that you are to remain in Jesus in order to bear fruit. Now, in John 15, the word remain is used 11 times. Now, most of the time it's an imperative, which means that it's a command. Now, it's also used to warn people about the consequences for not remaining in Jesus. We can see this in John 15, so open your Bibles there, and in verse 4, we see remain used as a command, and it says, remain in me as I also remain in you. Jesus is the true vine who hangs on to the branches. Jesus remains in the disciples, and then he urges them to remain in him. There's this mutual hanging on. But as we look at verse 5, we're told what will happen if we do remain in Jesus. Look at verse 5. It says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, the point of remaining in Jesus is so that we'll bear fruit. In fact, Jesus goes on in verse 6 and says that says what will happen if they don't remain in Jesus. Look at verse 6. It says, if you don't remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. See, these branches that are cut off won't produce fruit. They're dead, aren't they? And we can understand what's going on here, because if we remain in Jesus, we bear fruit. But if we don't remain in Jesus, we won't bear fruit. We'll be cut off. Now, I started looking at these branches with you. I cut off a few weeks ago, and some branches I cut off this morning. Now, the future of all these branches is already set. They've all been cut off from the vine. They haven't remained part of the vine, and they will die. Now, the ones I cut off a few weeks back are, as you saw, they're looking grim. The freshly ones seem okay, but they're not. They're all going to die because they've been cut off. They won't produce flowers. They won't produce more leaves. They can't do anything because they're not part of the vine anymore. They're dead. The result of branches being part of a tree or a plant is that they will produce. But once it's cut off, nothing is produced. And Jesus says in verse 6, every branch that's been cut off is destined to be thrown into the fire and burned because it's useless. It's not good for anything, only building a fire. It can't produce fruit. See, bearing fruit is part and parcel of remaining in Jesus. Now, in this instance, fruit bearing is the result of remaining in Jesus. That's what we see here, isn't it? Jesus says that if we remain in Jesus, we will bear fruit. That's what a result is. As we remain in Jesus, we will bear fruit. Bearing fruit is the result of remaining in Jesus. And we can see this at the end of verse 4, where it says, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless, result, you remain in Jesus. Or remain in me, it says. Bearing fruit is the result of remaining in Jesus. We can't bear fruit unless we're part of the vine. We can't bear fruit unless we're in Jesus. Now, the first point is that Jesus wants the disciples to remain in him. And it's the same for us. We are to remain in him. And the result of remaining in Jesus is that we will bear fruit, which means to be part of the vine and to be part of Jesus. So you are to remain in Jesus in order to bear fruit. And now we come to our second point. And what we see here is that we need to bear fruit in order to remain in Jesus. Now we see this in the negative in verse 2, where it says, he, that is the Father, cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. If you're not producing fruit, then you're cut off. Bearing fruit here is a condition of remaining in Jesus. If you don't bear fruit, you'll be cut off. If you don't bear fruit, then you no longer remain in Jesus. Now, Jesus uses the vine example to say that a branch can't produce fruit on its own. The branch must be part of the tree or the vine or whatever to be able to produce fruit. And he likens that to his disciples remaining in Jesus. If they don't produce fruit, they'll be cut off and won't be able to produce fruit anymore. If you look down at verse 8, it tells us that bearing fruit is the evidence for remaining in Jesus. Look at verse 8. See, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. The ESV puts it like this. It says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. See, bearing fruit is the proof that you are a disciple. That's why in verse 2 it says that anyone who does bear fruit is pruned to be able to bear even more fruit. Look again at verse 2, where it says, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. My cousins have a peach farm near Bathurst. And every year after the peaches are harvested, they need to prune. They spend hours pruning these trees so that they'll produce a good harvest next season. Now, pruning is one of the most important tasks that they can do. And my cousins don't let anybody do it. If you get it wrong, you get no fruit. But if you get it right, well, then there's an abundant harvest. Jesus explained that God the Father is the gardener. He's the one who cuts off, yes, and we shudder to think that someone might be cut off. But we also need to remember that our Father God has the delicate task of pruning so that those who remain in Jesus will be even more fruitful. Now, from this illustration that Jesus gives, we can tell that being pruned is way better than being cut off. We've just seen a branch that's been cut off. It doesn't last very long, does it? Not even 2 weeks, and they already look old. The goal of anyone who wants to remain in Jesus is to bear fruit. We want to be pruned so that we'll be even more fruitful. We need to bear fruit in order to remain in Jesus. So we've seen two things here this morning. First, we must remain in Jesus to bear fruit, a result. And second, that we are to bear fruit in order to remain in Jesus, a condition. Let me illustrate this for you. Many years ago, I played soccer. I tried out 1 year to be part of a team that would go to Queensland as part of a New South Wales team. The first thing I had to do was perform well to get into the team. Now, I did that and I got into the team. That was the result. I got picked for the team. But that didn't mean that was the end of the matter. I couldn't just go to Queensland and play. Now, you see, I had to train with them. I had to commit to turning up to training every week, training to be part of the team. And if I didn't turn up, well, I would be kicked out of the team. See, there was a condition on me being part of that team. Result, we must remain in Jesus to bear fruit. Condition, we are to bear fruit in order to remain in Jesus. Result and condition. Now, the big point I want you to see this morning is that we are to bear fruit. See, bearing fruit is the result of being in a relationship with Jesus. But bearing fruit is also the condition of us being in a relationship with Jesus. So the question I have for you is this. Are you bearing fruit? If fruit bearing is the mark of being a disciple, well, then we need to know what it means to bear fruit. Are you his disciple? Are you bearing fruit? Bearing fruit is the result of remaining in Jesus, but it's the reason why you can remain in Jesus. And God is looking for fruit in your life. I think for many of us, we probably examine our own lives and we measure our success on a number of things. We may look at our bank balances. We may look at our skin color or what we look like, how successful our children might be, the types of jobs we've had, and maybe even the income we've received. We look at those things, don't we? And we give ourselves a score out of 10, and that's how we examine ourselves. But what's God looking for in your life? I think you know the answer, don't you? He's looking for fruit. Fruit that lasts. Fruit that proves that you belong to him. Now, of course, by this stage, you're probably wondering, well, what is fruit? What is fruit? We're not going to spend a lot of time, but I'll give you a few things that the rest of our passage says. What does fruit bearing involve? Well, first, it means that we need to be prayerful. Look at verse 7. It says, If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. See, fruit-bearing people pray to God and ask for his help. They ask God to perform. Prayer is one way we show our deep dependence on our God, on our great God. It's why we pray in church so much. It's why we have prayer meetings. It's why we pray before we have Bible study, because we want to bear fruit, and praying is part of bearing fruit. Are you bearing fruit? Now, another way to bear fruit is further down in verses 9 and 10. That to bear fruit means we will keep his commands. Look at verses 9 and 10. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. See, keeping God's commands are part of remaining in his love. So we look at the Bible, we open it, we read it, we see what God's word has to say to us, and this is how we and we respond appropriately, and this is how we bear fruit. So are you bearing fruit? Another way we can bear fruit is by loving one another. Down in verses 12 and 13, it says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay one's life for one's friends." We saw this a few weeks back, didn't we? This is the new commandment that Jesus gave to them, love one another. And then he reminds them of the sacrifice that he's about to make for them, giving his life so that their sins may be forgiven. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And Jesus calls his disciples his friends, and he wants to lay down his life for them. Are you bearing fruit? Then this last way we can bear fruit is by bearing witness to the world. Now for this we have to go a bit further down than where we read to, down in verses 26 and 27. And we can see that this is another way that we can bear fruit. Look at verse 26. It says, "When the Advocate comes, the Holy Spirit, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me until the end." See, bearing fruit here for the disciples is about telling others about Jesus. It's about spreading the good news of what Jesus has done for you. Are you bearing fruit? So what we've seen today is that to remain in Jesus, we need to bear fruit, the condition. And that to bear fruit, we need to remain in Jesus, the result. We've seen a number of ways that we can bear fruit. So now we have the task of going out and bearing fruit. At the end of the day, this is what we've been chosen to do, to bear fruit. And Jesus was very clear about that in verse 16. Where it says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." So as God's chosen people, work hard to be part of the vine. We need to be active in our participation as part of the vine. All of these things are ways that we can prove that we remain in Jesus, that we are part of the vine. See, God wants you to bear fruit. So let's ask the question one more time. Are you bearing fruit? Well, let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks for today for your goodness. We thank you that we can bear fruit for you. Help us, we ask, to bear fruit for your kingdom and show to you that we belong to you and prove that we are your disciples. Lord, help us in this great task of bearing fruit for you. In the strong name of Jesus, we ask. Amen.